Beloved in the Lord, God wants me and you to share in the word of God, in his word, as we start from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. And as we can see on the board here, the Bible reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and your gates. To this end, may God be glorified for his word. Amen." Beloved in the Lord, there is a saying, a wisdom saying in my mother tongue, which says that tender shoots of trees are tomorrow's forests. The small shoots that we are seeing growing in the bush are what will make up a forest in the years to come. Literally, what it means is that when the small trees are growing, are shooting out, we should not despise them. We should not cut them out, but we should nurture them, because from them, we are going to see big trees in the near future to come. From them, at a certain point, we are going to make anything that we can make from the products that can come from trees. We talk about wood for furniture. We talk about wood for construction. Wood for fuel. Like in Africa, fuel that comes from wood is very, very important, and most people use it. We need trees to grow up also for a balanced ecosystem. We need trees for good weather, for life that is conducive not only for humans, but also for other living things. Mainly, this saying was meant to sensitize the parents or societies never to despise the children, never to leave them out of life, but to incorporate them in life as much as you can. Because looking at that, these very small children we are seeing today, tomorrow they'll be parents. Amen. They are the ones who form up the society and the community. They are the ones who perpetuate life as we value it today. This saying was encouraging us to introduce to the children whatever we value as parents, whatever we see as valuable to life. In the same way, brothers and sisters, I am seeing when we read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9, I am seeing that God is meaning the same, a similar thing, saying to the Israelites that they need to pay much attention by incorporating the children in the life that they were living in. The faith that they had, the relationship that they had with God, God was reminding them, even the children are part of that. Do not leave them out, but bring them in. Introduce to them this faith. Talk to them every day as you walk. This is why, brothers and sisters, the topic to our message this morning is a command to reproduce faith bearers by ministering to our children. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. You know, me, I believe in community. I believe in community, and as I stand here, I'm not standing here for my own, but I'm standing for this community. And when I am assured that I'm working together with the church, then I also be given that strength. Hallelujah. And to God shall be the glory. Amen. God is commanding that we as a church, we as parents, as families, may reproduce bearers of faith as we minister to the children. This is what God is saying in the text that we have read. He is addressing to Israel the importance of children in their lives, the importance of the children in the relationship they had with God, the importance of children in this faith. The first thing that we see in this command, he starts with the relationship. There must be relationship in the first place. God first started to be in relationship with Israel when he called Israel to believe in him, to be a people of God. He first called them. And that relationship had some responsibility. That relationship had rules in it. No one was just to stand, yes, I am related to God. But God is reminding them, you shall love the Lord, your God. You shall love him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul. Amen, church. This love God is talking about is not a love which goes with lip service, which we are going to talk about, but it is a love that is lived out. With everything that man is, he should love God. I believe, brothers and sisters, no one will be considered to be a whole person without a heart. I believe such a person who, I don't know what kind of thing we're going to call, will say this person is dead because he has no heart. Not so. Amen? Look at a person who has no soul in him. What are we going to say? He's not a person at all. He's not complete. We may say he's a ghost. Equally, somebody without strength. What kind of a person? He has a heart. He has a soul. But there is no strength in him. What kind of an individual is he? Is he anything we're going to say is a person? Such a thing will be rendered useless. We'll call it something else and not an individual and not a person. In this we see the first thing God looks at is the relationship that is between Israel and him, of which he puts a condition. He puts this rule, this Israel, in continuing to love, to be related to this God, they ought to love him with all they are, with their strength, with their hearts, with everything that is in them. They are supposed to love this God. Amen, church. They need to love this God. It is what we see also in John chapter 21, reading verses 15 downwards, we see Jesus asking John. He was asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And the three times he was asked, Peter was saying, "Yes, Lord, I love you." At every time that Peter was saying, "Yes, Lord, I love you," Jesus was pronouncing a responsibility: "Feed my flock." Amen. We cannot say we love God, yet we are doing nothing, yet we are dormant, but there should be some service that we are doing in this love for this God, in this relationship that we have with this God. Without love for God, we have no relationship with God. If anyone here does not love God, has no love for God, then, my brother, my sister, you are not related to God. Even if you call yourself a Christian, without love, no one will be connected to God. Because the Bible tells me, God is love. Hallelujah. Beloved brothers and sisters, the second thing we are going to look at is where God reminds them about what they ought to be. If they are in relationship with God, connected to God, they love this God. The other thing he mentions to them is that there should be truth in them. Truth must be in them before they can shine out to the world and say, "Here we are, children of God." As God was trying to remind them of his relationship with him, he was doing it for the purpose of this larger family of Israel to transmit the faith to their children, and which they are supposed to do in that connection of relationship in love. And then he tells them, it's not only by being related to God, but they should be filled with the truth of God in them. Before they do that task of talking to the children about God, they should know who God is. They should know about the Word of God, the truths of this salvation. Because if our salvation, if our faith to God is so empty, then what are we going to dish out? You only give out to what you have. Hallelujah. The abundance of what you have is what you are going to share to others. You cannot give out if you have nothing, if you have none. This is why he says in verse 6, he is saying, "These commandments that I give you today are to be in your hearts." Being in relationship with God, brothers and sisters, we should have the truth of God. Being in relationship with God, we should have the commandments of God, keeping God in our hearts, knowing who he means to us, knowing what he promises unto us every day of our lives in all aspects of life. Amen. This is what God is saying. And this is why I also refer to Luke chapter 6, verse 45, where the Bible says, "A good man brings good tidings out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." And then Luke continues by saying, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Amen? Meaning, if parents, if families, if the congregation here at Vineyard in Groningen was to share this love of God, the Word of God, the faith that we have in God, it has to come from within the richness of their hearts. If we are empty here, if we are just Sunday Christians, we do not know about the Word of God, what are we going to share with our children? Nothing. We'll be reluctant. The only thing we will know, our only role we'll see in the lives of our children is only to feed them a lot of food, take them to school, bath them, buy them clothes. But there is a precious responsibility that we have as parents to our children, even very important, that of sharing the faith, amen, which will come from the abundance of what we know. In that abundance of what we know, it is because we know our children are part of the promises. They share in the promises that God has bestowed on us. If we can refer to Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, it says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God for your descendants after you. Amen. If parents, if we know the God we believe in, the promises that he has bestowed on us does not only belong to us, it also belongs to our children. It belongs also to their children and children after them in generations to come. Then we have a task to do. Share the faith that we have even to these children that God has given us. Reaching this point, brothers and sisters, I do ask myself, if you as a parent, even those that will be parents in the years to come, I know in the plans of God he will bless you with children. But what do you feel and think is the best gift that you can give to your children? I believe every parent desires to do a marvelous thing for a child. That when a child receives something, at least he will be pointing at you with pride and saying, this is my father, this is my mother, this is my parent. What kind of gift do you desire, which you think it's the best, it's a nice one, it will cherish your child, and when you give a child, at least it is something that will mean a lot of things in life. We've seen people during the weddings of their children who give, who buy a nice Mercedes-Benz, the latest. Some of them will even buy cars. Some of them will sponsor their children, like in Africa, those who are rich, they will sponsor their children to come to Europe for honeymoon. They feel that is the best they can give, spending a lot of money. But here, brothers and sisters, I want to state to you that the best gift a parent can give to a child is knowing God. Faith in God, to grow in God, to be nurtured in the faith, in the love of God, in that connectivity with God. This is what God desires. And then we see God is mentioning to these parents, to this family of the Israelites. He says in verse 7, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Amen. What it means here, we take advantage of anything that happens in life, any aspect of life, wherever we are with our children, we should take it. It is an opportunity for us to share this faith. Here, he is saying, when you are walking on the way, when you are seated, when you are eating, when you are sleeping, when you are waking up, let God be present. Let the word of God be said. Let the love of God be known to your children in all aspects of life. It's very common to us that we can only talk to our children about the word of God when they are going to sleep sometimes. When it's time to eat, we just go into the food. We don't even make our children realize that this food is coming from God. I remember one time we were in the theological college in Zambia. We had a visiting professor coming from the Netherlands who was very surprised. He said to us in class that I'm so surprised here in Zambia that you people pray for everything. You pray for everything. Before eating, you are praying for the food to bless it. And even to thank God that God has given you the food. But for us in the Netherlands, we know that food is all over. In every shop you enter, you find it, you buy. We have money. What do we have to? Everything is available. But brothers and sisters, everything comes from God. Whether you have money, if God puts a hand and blocks you from accessing the food, you cannot access it. Food can be available in the shops. God may just cut the supply of funds in his own way. So we should make it known to our children in every opportunity. God is present and God makes life very, very possible. Amen. This is what he's saying at every time. Share this word. Let the children know he is God. He is Lord. The word of God again gives us counsel, brothers and sisters. If we can do such a thing, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. If we can start at a tender time sharing the word, the children grow in the word of God, you have no problem when they've grown up to force them to go to church. Because they've grown, this is their life, this is their culture. Any culture without the word of God, without the life of Christianity, then they will look at it to be very strange. Amen? This is what he's saying. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. He will live in it all the times of his life. So it is when you sit, when you are home, when you are walking, when you are walking back home, when you are taking them to school, in every situation, let them know the Lord is God. And much more, brothers and sisters, in this situation, in the environment that we are in, of the world today, when our societies are so secularized, we really need to train up our children in the word of God, in the faith. They say that the society has become so secularized, mostly in the Western world, in the Western culture, in Europe. But the question is, where does this secularism come from? Such that churches, in many ways, are so empty. There are so many gaps in the churches, as we can see. A church is a total community. We should have all age groups of people The parents should be there. The older ones should be there. The middle-aged should be there. The youths should be there. Even the babies who are being born. Amen. But when you look around in most churches here in the Netherlands, in Europe, you see that there is a gap somewhere. People of the middle age are missing from the church. The youths are missing from the church. Yes, we can have Sunday school lessons. What do we call this where the children have gone? Sunday school? Or children's church? Children's church, yeah, thank you so much. So, you see that we have that one, but between that one and this one, there is a gap, if I can check well. We are missing out a youth fellowship in it. Why were our youths? They are there, but they are in the world. They are secularized. They've joined the secularization. Only to come back to church when they are old. At one time, I was talking to a pastor from Switzerland who told me, what you see here is the church, and when you look at our church row, we have 10,000 members. But how many people were in church? About 80, and those were all old people. A few youthful and middle-aged. Then he says, we have these, they've gone working. Some are within this town, but they'll come back when they want to marry. They'll come back when they want to marry. The church marries them. Then they go back. When they are dead, again they are back. Amen? But should it be the case? No. The church is total life from A to Z. Amen? People should participate in church life without ceasing. Because this is their relationship with God, where there is life in total. And if they are pursuing this life, they should be in church and in life with Christ Jesus all the times. Amen, church. And again, I bring this other challenge, brothers and sisters. When we talk about secularized society, where does this come from? In my own answer, I say the secularized society comes from our homes, from our families. What starts to be secularized first is the family. It degenerates. Eh? Instead of living in that command of God to talk about God, to talk about the word, the faith in God, we stop talking about that in our families. The only thing we'll do, we'll watch cartoons with our children, we'll bring them a lot of entertainments, and there's no word of God in our lives when we are home. Slowly we are secularizing, and then these are families which are producing secularized children into the community. And what do we expect of the community? But if things change the other way, if we can Christianize, make our families faithful, then the families will produce faithful children into the society, and then we shall have a society which knows God, which glorifies God all the times. Amen. The church will impact the society, not the society impacting the church. Amen. This is it, brothers and sisters. And if we are to fill that gap, it's only when the church obeyed to this commandment of God to talk to the children, to be people of love, loving Him with our strength, with our money, with our hearts, with everything we are, loving this God. And as we love this God in this relationship, we be full of the word, full of faith, full of the truths, which we shall empty and share with our children in every day of our lives. And then we shall have those communities that shall live in faith, that shall fill the gap that is there in the community, that is there in the church. And we shall see the reality of what is recorded in Psalm chapter 127, verse 3 to 5, which says, children are a heritage. Children are a heritage. Amen. If we are to be there, if the church has to be there tomorrow, it all depends on our children. If the community, the society is to live a God-fearing life, a community of faith which worships God, a community which is living in waiting for this salvation, brothers and sisters, it has to be faith shared with our children. Amen. Shared with our children. Because the psalmist says, when these children are impacted with the word of God, it's like the church and the society has an armor, which he says here, it is like the arrows in the hands of a warrior. He has the arrows in case of any attack, in case of any eventuality, the warrior will just release the arrow and he will defend himself. Amen. Our community, if we had children who are well nurtured in the word of God, we will be safe of tomorrow. We are ready for battle. We can contend with the evil one. And then we still believe we shall have it. We have the victory in Christ. And then the psalmist says, blessed is, in this case I'll say, blessed is the church which has such, which nurtures their children to know God, to grow in God, who share their faith with their children, because they will have their children full of faith as warriors. They will take up the challenges tomorrow. They will continue disseminating the word of God, the faith, to even generations to come. Blessed are we, brothers and sisters, if we are going to take up such a challenge, realizing we have the relationship with God, the relationship of love, and God is sending us. If we really love him, he is saying, share the word of God. He's not saying you may. When I look at this, it's a command, amen? It is a command. God is commanding us. Share. As long as you have a child, as long as God will give you a child at one time, please go with this message. Go and remember the moment that first child will be born in your family. Remember, there is a task. Amen? Share. Speak to them about God. Speak to them about salvation. Speak to them about the death of Christ on the cross, who died in order to save us. And because he died, we believe in him, we have the salvation. We have eternity. We shall live forever with him in his glory. May God bless this church to take up the challenge and live in faith as we live in faith, to share the word of God, to impact the children, to impact our society with the love of God, that they may realize we have life and an eternity because Jesus died on the cross and is calling even the children, because he said, let the little ones come to me. May God bless you. May God bless us all. Thank you.